So today we are getting ready as a congregation to do business together, to talk about the life of our church, talk about the things that God is calling us to look to seek him together. So I wanted us to focus our attention before we kind of get down to the details, to look at the big picture. Here's the question I want us to wrestle with. Why? Why even do we do anything with the local church? What is the point of the local church? I want to submit to you that the church has a mission, a unique mission. We have a message to deliver, and we have a message to live out. Amen. We're a little bit like the postal service. There's a message that needs to be delivered. Yeah. But we're not just the postal service. Because see, that the message that we're looking to share with the world is also the same message we're looking to live out in community together. So here's the question I want us to kind of haunt our day today. What's at stake? I mean, seriously, if the local church fails in its mission to proclaim and embody the gospel, you know, that message we just sang about in Amazing Grace, you know, the idea that God loves the world. He gave his only son so that people don't have to die, don't have to perish, but can have eternal life. That message, that central message of the gospel, that all have sinned and fall short of the grace of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If we fail in that message, so what? What's at stake? Just think about that for a minute. Maybe even tell your neighbor if you have an answer. What's at stake? So if we just take this church thing as this casual, optional part of life, you know, like, oh yeah, well, it's kind of nice. You know, I hope they play good songs. I really want them to play my favorite song. They didn't play my favorite song. I hate this church. Oh. I hope they have good donuts. They ran out of donuts. I hate that. I'm never coming back. Jesus is awful. I mean, is it just that little simple thing? Or is there something much, much, much more at stake? What's at stake? What's at stake? Parents, what's at stake for your children if they never hear the gospel?
Separation from God.
That's a chilling thought, isn't it? We're like human beings, we're like smartphones. We've been created with so much incredible capacity, and yet, if we get disconnected from God, eventually we run out of power and it's over. And all this potential for good comes to nothing. Comes to nothing. Comes to nothing. There is so much at stake, friends, in what we are looking to do as a local church. It matters more than anything whether our teenagers hear the gospel. It's the difference between kids being raised in an environment of hope where they know that they are on this earth for a purpose. They are on this earth by God's design and for God's delight and by God's pleasure. He loves them and he's calling to them. Or believe in yourself. But what if I don't believe in myself? Well, love yourself. But what if I don't love myself? They're raised in an environment where there's absolutely no foundation for living. Kids, Disney is not going to save anybody. It's at its core, I mean, they're beautiful little songs. I like the mermaids and stuff, but there's no core. There's no soul to the message. If they don't hear it from the church, where do they hear it? Where do they hear it? Where do people know that they matter? If not from the gospel, there is so much at stake. That's why we do this. And so we pray that God would give us wisdom in knowing how to do this. Because there's a lot of ways that our own organizational dysfunction can get in the way of that message being proclaimed. And we get ourselves off track. We get apathetic. We get out of the Word of God. We stop really praying. and our passion for God and our clarity of call in life just ebbs away, just drains out like the battery. You feel drained out. You know, the whole world's conspiring against you. Of course you're feeling drained out. The question is, are you getting recharged? And do you know where to go back to the power source? So I wanted us to look today, just briefly, at some passages that, from a time when the church really was thriving. We've been in the book of Acts over the last month, looking at the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, has been working on the church as we're in Acts chapter 2. This moment where it kind of everything worked right. It's just great. I mean, the Holy Spirit has landed on these people, and people are serving the Lord, and just astonishing things happen. I want us to take a look at this passage here. So Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. So the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to what's that next word?
Fellowship.
So teaching, fellowship, to the breaking of bread. That's referring to meals together. That's also referring to communion, the sacrament that unites us as a church family. And to what?
Prayer.
Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. One of the great things that happens in the church is pretty soon these signs and wonders weren't just performed by the apostles. Prayers are being answered in dramatic ways all over the place. I wish you could be part of some of the groups that meet on Thursday nights if you're not already. You know, these guys that are praying for one another, women that are praying for one another, teenagers, our middle school group is busting at the seams. Kids that are praying for one another because prayers are being answered. Like, sometimes really dramatically, prayers are being answered. You got to get in there. You got to hear the stories, folks. Glory. If you're missing out, if you're not hearing some of these stories. And all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to what? Meet together. So they're doing life together. In the temple courts. They broke bread in where? Their homes. So they did stuff in public places like temple courts, like church buildings. They also did things in their homes. They hung out. They shared meals. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the church, at its best, when it is healthy, it is about worship. So that life of devotion to God, of prayer, of the sacraments, of singing praises to God, of encouraging people to begin their walk with Jesus if they haven't begun that yet. That the vertical relationship between God is being encouraged. That's the life of worship. The church, at its best, it does that. The church is also, and always has been, about connection. It's not just about you and Jesus, folks. It's about you and Jesus and this funky, funky family that he has joined you with. And it's sometimes through the people around you, and even through the conflicts with the people around you, that you grow the most. You know, you could point to your neighbor and say, "You annoy me, but I need you. You know, you bother me. Thank you." Because it's as we share life together, as we get to know one another, as we hear each other's stories, as we rub each other the wrong way, that God is refining us. He's teaching us about kindness and patience and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. It's through each other. Sorry about that. But that's how it happens. So the church, when it's healthy, it is about connection, about friendships that deepen faith. And the church is about service. There is abundant generosity in this local church. As the Spirit falls on people, we become increasingly generous. Like, my stuff, it just doesn't matter to me so much anymore. So I'm going to give generously. When I see a need, I'm going to respond to it. I mean, this stuff just blows me away. This stuff that happened in Acts chapter 2. This is the church that's like, you need a car. I have a car. Here you go. Here's the keys. Here's the deed. You want to share the car? I mean, just crazy amounts of generosity. Is the church today, are we known as people who are generous? Outrageously generous. Oh, dear God, I hope so. I hope we're growing in that. I hope we aspire to that, because when the church is healthy, we are a church that reaches out with love to the world around us. We're a place of service. But you also need to hear this, folks. Let me see your eyes. Let me see your eyes. Just because there's a healthy church, just because God is on the move, just because the Holy Spirit is active, doesn't mean that things are going to be easy. Nod your head. Now, I really wish it was come to Jesus, ask him into your heart, and everything in your life is going to be awesome. That would be great. It would make evangelism so much easier, but we wouldn't grow a lick from it. Do you know that as you're looking to pursue God's call in your life, there will be resistance? Things will be difficult. You will have your heart broken. Love people anyways. You will have your patience tried. Don't give up anyways. Because it's often in those trials that we grow the most, and we see that in the church too. I'm going to read quickly through a passage in Acts chapter 5. We glossed over it a couple weeks ago because this one's a little more difficult. Because even as the church is growing and good things are happening, the wheat, you could say, is developing, but also the weeds are developing. Wheat and weeds, they grow together. And so Acts chapter 5, we see this chilling little story. There's a man, okay, I got to give you a little background behind this just for a second. So remember people were selling stuff to give to those who are in need? Well, one of the people who was doing that was a guy by the name of Barnabas. So he sold some land, gave it to the apostles. It was probably in some sort of a formal like church setting environment. So there's people gathered together and Barnabas comes up and he hands over the deed of his land to the church, and they sell it, and they say, okay, now we're going to use this money for the mission of the church. We're going to make sure that people have food. We're going to help each other out. We're going to, you know, send missionaries. He made all that money available, and people were like applauding. Yay, Barnabas, what a great thing to do, Barnabas. Great job. And so somebody saw that and went, hey, that's fantastic. Look at all the recognition that Barnabas is getting. I'd like me some of that. And so Ananias does something. Together with his wife Sapphira, they sold a piece of property, just like Barnabas did. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back some of the money for himself. Now, that's not a bad thing. You don't need to tithe 100%. But the problem is, he was acting as if he did. I surrender all, but it's really 40%. I surrender almost all, almost all to Jesus. And it's great. You know, everybody's applauding. Wow, good job. Ananias, oh, that's so generous of you. You're wonderful, wonderful. And he brought it to the disciples' feet, and Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you've lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You haven't just lied to human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all those who heard what had happened. Great fear is seizing me right now, because, you know, if our church, and if any church in America today, had people drop dead every time they were trying to pull a fast one on the Lord and try to look better among believers than they actually were, there'd be a high body count. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a dead man. I'm a dead woman. Because a lot of the times we're just putting on pretense. We're trying to look a whole lot better than we are. I mean, look at the people around you. I mean, some of them are dressed real nice, and they look like they have it together. I assure you, they don't. We are a messed up, funky bunch of people. And the point isn't so much that we need to be perfect. Only Christ himself is perfect. We just can't BS our brokenness, folks. We just can't pretend that we have it more together than we do. We've got to be honest with God. We've got to be honest with each other. And how dare us to think that we that just by acting like we have it all together, that we've pulled a fast one on the Lord. He knows. And you need to know that he loves you anyways in the midst of your brokenness. He does desperately. That's what that cross is all about. That's what it's all about. So the church has some dysfunction, and by the Holy Spirit, it's being dealt with pretty dramatically. But that's one of the things that the church needs to do, is we need to deal with our challenges. We need to deal with our dysfunction. And then we see actually a much better challenge in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. That's the last passage I want to hit on before we start getting real personal as a congregation. So in those days, when the number of disciples is increasing, so many churches become a mega church, the Hellenistic Jews complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. We looked at this passage in much more detail last week. But the point is, there were problems in the church. Some people were being overlooked. They didn't really mean for it to happen. It just sort of happened. And as we read the rest of the passage, they dealt with it. They dealt with it. They developed some organizational structure so people were empowered to take care of the problem. The ways that we grow as a congregation is some of the same ways that we grow individually. We come to God. We recognize that we are the people of God by the grace of God. And then the Lord, one by one, starts to deal with our stuff. Deals with you, with your stuff, and with me, with my stuff. I got plenty. And he deals with us and our stuff. And we seek to be honest with one another about what's really going on. And we look to face it together. So I want to just talk a little bit from my own perspective of kind of how we are doing as a congregation. And I want to look at those three things that mark our mission statement. You see this hopefully on almost everything we do, because we want to make certain we just stay true to this mission. We are a church about worship, about, help me out folks, come on, connection and service. We organize around that. Our budget goes around that. Our org chart goes around that. Everything we do is about those things. So I'm going to talk about how we're doing in some of those areas. Now, in the area of worship, here's what we've seen in the last year. I mean, we had this amazing blessing that we moved into just about a year ago. This incredible building. I mean, just what an amazing, amazing gift. Oh, thank you, God. And the generosity that made it possible. Oh, thank you, God. We've seen people just give in wonderful, beautiful ways that has made this possible. And within the midst of this wonderful gift, we've actually experienced some challenges. I want to just talk about that, just as frankly as I can. And if you disagree with me, please come to the annual meeting, because we want to hear your voice on this, on these matters too. But we have been a church of about 250 people for the last 4 years. Sometimes down a little bit, very rarely much up above. And one of the reasons we moved into this space is to say, okay, well, let's lift the lid. Let's make a little bit more space for us to grow. Because, you know, there's only so far we could go in the rental space that we were in. We went from two services to one here, at least initially. And that actually caused some challenges. We all did it with the best of intentions. Wow, isn't it great that we can all worship together? We've actually, especially early on in this year, we really had some challenges figuring out how to not just be a crowd, but to be a community. I mean, we had this incredible Easter, like 530 people a year plus back, and a few folks got connected and stayed from that. We are so grateful for that. God has blessed us with some amazing, amazing people as a result. We also lost quite a few in the process. As people went, you know, it just doesn't feel as friendly as it used to be. I mean, that's the feedback I hear. Not so much from people angry, but just going like, I just don't feel like I'm really connected anymore. The other problem, too, is our connection groups at that season were not thriving very well. We didn't have very many of them. They weren't being, it just wasn't working in the ways that they had been at some points in the past. You know, I do wonder, looking back on that, whether it would have been wiser for us. I mean, this is all retrospect, and, you know, you go ahead and point your fingers at me. I was as much part of the decision-making as anybody else. You know, whether it might have been wiser to have stayed in two services and just said, hey, we do fairly small church, the 100, 150 people. We do those settings really, really well. We do community really well there. Let's keep doing that, and let's multiply by multiplying services. I don't know. And I wonder sometimes if that might be one of the ways forward for us too. But our challenge in the area of worship is, how do we move past the crowd into genuine community? How do we inspire one another to really connect with each other's lives? What's it going to take for us to actually get into the level where you might say to somebody across the aisle, somebody whose name you don't really know very well yet, "Hey, I'd really like to get to know you. Do you want to come over for dinner?" I know that can be kind of a creepy first step. You got to be real careful about how you do that so you're not weirding people out. Don't do that to a first-time guest. That's just crazy. You know, but because you want to go gentle with people. But that we're actually starting to do some of that Bible stuff. We are meeting together in our homes. We are sharing meals. We're sharing stories. You know, it's been in the past year, especially early on in the year, that we, for the first time in a long time in the church, we would sometimes hear when a first-time guest was coming and they were being really honest. We're so blessed. We've had a few that were just really honest that said, "I was at Columbia Grove and I was completely ignored." It's the first time that kind of feedback would come back. Grateful that sometimes people are that honest, but that also is one of the challenges of being a larger church. If we are just big enough that it's possible to be anonymous. Now that's the bad news. Here's the good news. Things are turning around. Is it more and more people in the church, and you know who you are because I'm seeing you being deliberate about this. You're coming to church and not so much like, "Oh, I hope that somebody talks to me. I hope that I get something out of this." But more of you are turning the corner and you're saying, "I'm coming to church because this is a platform for me to minister. I'm going to have my antenna up for the needs of the people around me. I'm seeing more people just spontaneously praying for one another. I'm seeing more people not just immediately move into their little clique right after worship, but they actually give some time to faces and people that they don't know. Things are turning around. We are getting friendlier. We're getting more intentional about this. That's the good news. The other place where things have, we have seen some growth, because our Sunday morning growth since moving in here, beep, not so much. I mean, we've been the same size almost all the way through the year, but here's where it's changed. Is we started a Saturday night service, and we have a group of, you know, 30 to 50 people on a typical Saturday night, and we do small church really well. There's some real great intimacy, some really great sharing that happens in those environments. That's good. I think that's some of that is going to help instruct us for the way forward. Our connection groups are getting revitalized. Like I said, I hope you could be here on a Thursday night. Just amazing things are happening there. But it's not just Thursday night. We have an increasing number of connection group leaders. We sort of lost our way with that a bit. But we're finding our feet again. We're finding our feet again. I hope that you would consider being a part of a group of some sort, whether that's hiking, whether that's a group that just gathers to do some sort of a fun activity together, or one of the many Bible study-based groups. You grow as you grow together, as we grow together. And good things are happening. So I think things are turning around. I want to talk about service real briefly too. You know, one of the challenges of moving into this space over the past year is we had to put a lot of energy into getting this space kind of customized and ready. We are so grateful to the teams that did that. People gave lots and lots of hours. People were so faithful to that. It also, for us, it took a bit of our focus away from the thing that has been the strength of our congregation. We got more inwardly focused and less outwardly focused. That's turning around too. That's turning around too. We are a church that is called to reach out to those that are unchurched, that are lost, that are hurting, with the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so we are finding our feet again with that. Actually, even the theme for this summer is Serve Together Summer. Okay? That's what we're looking at. And those two words, serve and together, are really important. Who was part of the loop trail cleanup a few weeks back? That was pretty cool. Expect more things like that. That we can serve together. That we can serve together. We can build community. We can get to know one another. We can do fun stuff. We can hang out and barbecue. And we have our eyes not just on getting us as a really happy little huddle, but out and serving the community. So welcome your ideas with that. I mean, put stuff down in connection cards. I mean, that'd be so helpful. Just share your ideas on that back wall. You know, your dream and your vision for this. Help us to see the opportunity out there. But we are going to serve together. That's our strength. As a community of faith, that we reach out together. Now, some of the other ways we've been addressing these elements of service is we are organizing for mission. If you stick around for the annual meeting starting in about 25 minutes, is one of the things that you'll hear about is we've been developing committees. We've been building lots of committees this past year. And here's the good part about that, is people are getting empowered for mission. We have good leaders that are taking charge of areas of ministry, and we are building into how we do budgeting, how we do structuring, so that those committees are independently empowered to serve in those areas. I want to ask some of those committee leaders to stand. Actually, if you're interested in coffee and fellowship ministry, talk to Helen. Helen, would you stand up for a sec? Talk to her. Okay? If you're interested in building maintenance, where's Mr. Sean Rush? Where'd he go? Stand up for a second. If you can help fix stuff, you need to talk to that man. Because he's leading a team, he's doing a great job, and he's empowered. You know, if you're in kitchen, okay, Emily, would you stand? I know, you know, just for a second. Okay, if you can cook stuff, if you like people to be fed, you need to talk to that woman. She's doing good work, and she's building a good team. Talk to her. Now, If you're interested in groundskeeping, now, Jim, would you stand up on behalf, because Bill Carroll, who's in the hospital, but you can talk to Jim. Jim would know a few things about that, or you can talk to Gene. Where's Gene Halverson? There, or next to Jim. Perfect, right there. Okay. You talk to these guys. They're a part of a team that is doing good work, and we got to keep praying for Bill. Do you know that spiritual leaders come under attack? We've had a lot of our key leaders in the church come up against some really significant health issues in the past year. I wonder what's going on. But people are being empowered for service. And I'm just going to take a moment on this one too, because I got to be, you know, one of the challenges for me personally is that just like in that passage with Acts chapter 6 we looked at a couple weeks ago, is one of the challenges for me as a senior pastor is I've been over-functioning. There's so many things going on in the church that I've been doing a lot of stuff. I want to put a couple of lists up. You can read all these things. But these are just some of the like 5-minute tasks that I've just in the past week realizing, why am I doing this stuff? We have all these amazing people that could be doing things like watering plants or turning off lights, or wonder who puts out and tears down the signs each week. If you can help with one of those areas, see somebody in the back at the serve table, write something down on a connection card. These 5-minute jobs add up because I've got to keep my heart and I've got to keep my focus in the place where I believe you want my focus to be, which is I want to preach this book really, really well, because this book contains life, because the Holy Spirit speaks through this book. But we got to do this together, because folks, if we are just all apathetic, sitting back, kind of being consumer Christians, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. We have got to engage together. And as we do, we can worship, we can connect, we can serve. This is the church. When we do this well, when we welcome well, when we have enough people in the church that have turned the corner and don't just come to receive, give me, feed me, feed me, feed me, please feed me, feed me. They come to church to serve and to reach out to the people around them. We're going to be a church of 300-400 in the next year. We have the capacity to grow, and I believe God desires for us to grow, because there's a lot of people in the Wenatchee Valley who need to hear and experience the gospel. Amen?
Amen. Go for it.
It only happens as we do this together, as each of us does our own little part. You know your spiritual gifts and you find a place to serve. Please, somewhere, anywhere, get engaged. Amen. Connect with somebody. You need to grow in your faith. You and I, we are not strong enough to do this thing alone. So get with somebody. However you do that, if you don't like connection groups, invent one you like. I don't care how you do it, but we have got to do it.
Yeah.
Lone Rangers don't last very long. God has such a better plan for you. And he has such a better plan for us as we worship, as we connect, as we serve. Take just a moment. When I invite the band to come up, we're going to continue in song. But take just a moment. Talk to somebody close by. Because God has put dreams on your heart. for this church. That's why you're here. I mean, come on, we are not the hottest thing in the valley. We are not the sharpest tool in the toolbox. But we have got potential, and God has given us gifts and talents, and there are ideas burning on your heart, and we want to hear them. Talk to each other for a minute about this. What do you pray will happen in our congregation? Take a minute and talk to each other about that. But just real quick, what are some of the ideas that you hear around the church? What are some things you are excited about and passionate about and saying, God, would you do this in our midst? Let's hear some things. Community service, that's right. That's right. They'll know we are Christians by our opinions. No? They'll know we are Christians by our love. That's right. Exactly. Yeah, Jim is just saying a place where we can be real. You know, that's one of the reasons why we have these connection groups. Because sometimes you need to get real with a small number of people first. Because not everybody's safe. So you've got to develop places where people are safe. And where things that are shared in confidence stay in confidence. Because yeah, we only grow as we get real. To further the senior ministry, yeah. If you love ministering to the greatest generation, you need to talk to Barb and Ray. You really do. God is doing amazing things. And they've had the privilege of ministering to people that I mean, they're approaching the ticker tape on the end of their journey. And it is so important that people hear and experience the gospel there. And Gail is very involved. Marianne's very involved. Isn't that the truth? Amen. It is so important. It is so important. We have got to honor our fathers and mothers. And they're helping us do that. So let's pray together. Let's pray together as a church. That God would lead us and guide us. Okay? Grab somebody's hand too if you can. Lord, we pray that you would lead and guide our church. God, help us to make wise and good decisions. That we would organize well for mission. Lord, help us to be about your priorities. There is so much at stake with this. God, may this be a place where grace is proclaimed, where grace is experienced, where people get energized and equipped for mission, and Lord, that we would be a place that goes to engage the needs of this world. God, we pray for anybody here that maybe doesn't yet know you as a personal Savior. They're like a smartphone that's been disconnected from the power plug and they think they're doing just fine right now. But their time is running out. That God, today, this morning, right now would be a time when they connect with you. They say, Jesus, I know that I need you. I know that I need you. Come into my heart. Give me the strength that I need to live the life that you have for me. Thank you for your salvation, for your grace. So Lord, unite us in mission, we pray. In the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.